This morning we are joined by Craig Morris in Berlin, Germany. Craig is the co-author of Energy Democracy, German's Energiewende to Renewables, and will be sharing with us a bit about how Germany has been able to expand citizen participation in energy production and what exactly that has meant for the people of Germany. Craig, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great.
So I thought to start here, Craig, you could just explain a bit about what exactly the German Energiewende or energy transition is.
So the Germany's energy transition, which it has a name, it's called Energiewende. It basically is a goal of decarbonizing the energy sector, decarbonizing the economy by mid-century. And it started off, this is the thing that makes it really special, it started off as a grassroots movement in the 1970s.
And that was in Veel, Germany, right, with those anti-nuclear protests?
Exactly. Well, it was anti-nuclear protests, but the protests that took place, and that's kind of why our book is called Energy Democracy, mm-hmm. they initially did not focus on radioactivity. This was a rural farming community that didn't really understand the threat of radioactivity. They basically were protesting plans to industrialize their basically thriving farming community.
Interesting. And in those protests, from what I understand, there's incentive to educate the protesters in sort of in the forest. There were some of these classrooms held. Why was that education element important, and how did this education allow the protesters to be taken seriously by the German government?
Right. So the government then came in and said, well, we really need these nuclear plants, and you don't need to worry about the pollution. There won't be any pollution, and the radioactivity is, you know, there won't be any leaks and everything else. And the farmers basically had no way of, you know, they just had to take that on faith. And so a number of independent academics and researchers came in and started explaining that there could actually be some other issues that the, you know, the officials were sort of glossing over. And the other thing is that when the, you know, the utility representatives who wanted the project, when they said, well, if you don't want the nuclear power, how do you want to get your electricity? These people then said, we want renewables and efficiency. And these things really didn't exist back then. You know, this was the 1970s. Solar panels were for outer space. NASA was using them. Wind turbines were, you know, sort of homemade things that you found on farms. But this was not a competitive, you know, these were not competitive technologies. And so these people began to develop these industries themselves, especially wind power. It was the local, you know, rural farmers who basically further developed their homemade devices, and they became the wind turbines that we have today. So these things that you see now out in the landscape, they did not actually come out of the R&D labs at our best engineering firms. These are further developments from farming communities.
That's fascinating. I know it might have changed a little bit recently here, but at one point it was 50% of renewable energy produced in Germany was done so by individuals and collectives and farmers. How is this framework possible? I mean, the idea of 50% of a renewable energy sector being produced by individuals is just mind-boggling to many of us. So how is that possible in Germany? What incentives are there?
Right. It's individuals and mostly groups, actually. So, communities coming together to put up, recover local biomass and use that for electricity and heat. An individual can put up a solar roof, but you can't afford, you know, a giant wind turbine today. A single one of them costs a few million. But a community can come together and do that, and that's what's happened over here. And we've had a policy in place to promote that. It basically means that the utility, that your local utility that doesn't want you as a competitor, they want you as a customer. The German law says that they don't get to pick the price that you're going to get paid for your electricity. So they try to set a fair price, a floor price, that the utility has to offer you for your green electricity. And this means that basically a much wider range of participants have entered the German market than we might see in most parts of the U.S.
So basically, it's structured in a way that it's a profitable investment for individuals to go in on a wind turbine with this incentive from the government. Is that correct?
Well, again, it's individuals, but it's also really communities. I really have to stress that. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I personally feel is missing the most in the U.S. In fact, I just tweeted something to this extent while I was waiting for this call. Basically, in the U.S., we talk about national issues like national energy security, and then we talk about individual rights. And what I think the country needs, and this is for energy, but it's also really healing the gap that we, I think, all acknowledge exists right now in the U.S., what we need is really a focus on the thing in the middle between individuals and the national level, and that's strengthening communities, bringing different people together, different groups of people together, and finding what they can do as one unit. And if we begin to reach across the aisle like that and say, what would be good, you know, for our community? What if our town began to make its own energy, our neighborhood? Then that would also, you know, not only bring more people into the energy market, but bring people of different walks of life together, doing things productively and getting to know each other.
Absolutely. Is there a reason behind that social cohesion in Germany in particular? Is it just a historical thing or something that is kind of sprouted from this grassroots movement that started the whole deal? Why is it in Germany that there is that community tie? At least in your opinion.
Well, I don't want to. There are certain things about Germany politically and historically and culturally. We describe some of these in our book. But I don't want to overstate that case. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of the time in the U.S. debate, we have people saying, yes, you can have socialism in Scandinavia because those people all look the same. Germany has a very large immigrant population. You'd be surprised, okay? We have no internal borders in the EU anymore, so the Spanish, the Italians, the Eastern Europeans can come over here in any number they want and just set up shop. So we have quite a large influx of foreigners. And, of course, I live here, so Americans can come over.
Yeah.
So we have those options. But what really makes Germany different from the U.S., I think, is a political focus and a cultural background that focuses on finding a consensus. So the democracy here is not set up on a winner-take-all basis. It's set up on a coalition basis, which means that the political parties view each other, and we have more than two, but they view each other not as enemies but as potential future partners in a coalition, trying to not force something through, but actually get the other side to say, all right, fine, we'll reach a compromise and move forward.
And so it's sort of inevitable that this integration of renewables is going to continue as the price of renewables sort of meets that market parity with fossil fuels. How does this kind of global energy transition represent an opportunity for citizens to recapture some of that energy democracy?
Right. So I do think that renewables are coming one way or the other. The business case is increasingly there. I don't think that's going to really be the issue. What we're trying to sort of point out to people in our book, and this is also what I realize every time I go home, is that, you know, my relatives in the U.S., and they basically all voted for Trump, what they basically complain about in rural America, flyover America, is nobody cares about us in the big city. The decision makers are not listening to us. We don't have a choice with our utility. We don't have a choice with our internet provider. And what they want is business opportunities, local business opportunities, and they want to have input into decision-making processes, and they want to be respected by the suits and ties in the big city. And that's actually what we've gotten over here in Germany with some of these renewable energy projects in rural areas.
Before you get going here, Craig, from your perspective across the pond there in Germany, is an American Energiewende, an American energy transition possible? And what is the first step?
I would encourage Americans to start reaching out to their neighbors, start building community energy projects, and demanding those rights as well. You know, come together in your neighborhood, invite your neighbors to a meeting about these things, get to know your neighbors, and start talking to them about things that you can do with them together. Go to City Hall. If it's bigger than a neighborhood, go to City Hall and start demanding these discussions. What can my city do? What can citizens in my city do? That's the discussion we need to be having.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Craig, for chatting with us a bit across the pond there about the German Energiewende.